bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today we're going to be talking about three main topics. The first will be about your captainship. We'll also be talking about the Eucharistic miracles that have occurred throughout the world, and also the LGBTQ acronym. And I'd like to start out with talking about your captainship, which is so important in the WINGS program. You know, this has been designed to help men to accept responsibility, to grow spiritually, mentally, and physically, to grow into their manhood, if you will, into their captainship, like an aviator, like a captain of an airliner who accepts the responsibility for his aircraft, his crew, and passengers. A man's captainship is very important, to take care of his family, to take care of his own life first, and then to help his family to succeed, his children, his wife, his family, his parents, whatever he can do to help the community as well. So the stronger he is, the more he can do for other people. And the question I have is, are you a leader or a follower? Are you more of a captain or more of a co-pilot? And if you are following someone at this time, who is it that you're following? Whose lead are you following? And this is really important because in the WINGS program, we see a lot of people who are truly following the wrong person. And they are entering into directions which are conducive for destructive lives. And so it's important that we make good decisions. Our children make great decisions when they're following other people, especially people in positions of authority who may be taking them down a path which is not aligned with what God says to do and what he says not to do, which is so important. So we have an opportunity today to explore those directions. And so for those people out there who are more of a co-pilot and following someone else's lead, are they entering into the drug scene, the alcohol scene, the party life? Are they moving into the illegal areas of society or criminal activity? What is it that your children or my children are doing, my friends? Because we may not know exactly where they're going tonight. Many years ago on Saturday nights, there was always a commercial that was aired, and it said this. It said, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? And that's the question I asked you today. You know, where are your kids today? What are they doing? Who are they following? When are they coming home? These are questions we need to ask to help our kids to avoid truly lives of destruction, and that are acquainted with and involved with, engaged in criminal activity, the drug scene, alcoholism, gambling, prostitution, all kinds of things that our kids are getting involved with today. How can we help them to avoid this? And this is where we want people to become captains of their own lives, to be independent and to make great decisions based on the Word of God. And, you know, what God says to do and what he says not to do is paramount in the WINGS program. And here on Holy Spirit Radio at Finding God in Prison. It's important that each and every person lead his own life, and that we're following God's lead and not truly Satan's lead. And he will take us into pathways that are conducive for destructive lives. We've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the years here on our program and in our ministry in my Father's Vineyard and in the Wings program for both incarcerated men and women and addicted men and women. We've seen that the devil can get in the way of good things. He can truly, you know, entice you into your most vulnerable area or into your greatest weakness. And so this is where we want to look at the faith aspect of our lives. How much time are we spending getting to know God, with God, praying to God? How much time are we engaged in the Word of God to help us to take the right courses, to make the right decisions, to build strong families, good work, give back to the community? And this is, objectively speaking, you know, a very, very important question. I'd like you to ask yourself, how much time are you giving to God during the week? Now, in the Wings program, we talk about the 168, which is the total time available in a 7-day week, 24 hours a day and 168 hours a week. But how much of that time is given over to God? For most of us, God gets maybe 1 hour a week at the church. But we know that a very high percentage of people don't even attend church today. An even higher percentage of people are not believers in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, something we'll be talking about very shortly, which is so important because this is one of the faith increasers that God has given us to help us to get stronger in our relationships with our Lord Jesus Christ. But again, are you more of a captain or more of a co-pilot? The goal is to be the captain of your own life, to be independent and to not be a dependent forever. Now, children, we know, are very dependent on their parents, but at some point they become adults. They become independent and are making their own decisions. And as kids grow up, they're fighting for that independence as they want to get their driver's licenses. They want to graduate high school. They want to be with boyfriends and girlfriends and all kinds of activities that go with it. But we have to guide them into the right areas before they leave the house. And I think that's, you know, very essential to building a productive life, which is so important. Now, the Lord gives us this, opportunity. We have free will. So in building your captainship or your manhood, we have free will to do the things that we want to do. And we try to align that list of things with the things that God calls us to do so that we are aligned with God, we are one with God. And with that alignment, we have peace in our hearts, peace in our day, peace in our nights, and peace throughout the week because we're doing exactly what God calls us to do. Something, you know, that is truly important. And when you have that alignment, you know, God will bless you in a way like never before. When we're misaligned, then we have to make changes. And what is the number one change right now that you think you need to make? This is a new year. We're already halfway through February, 6 weeks into the new year. What changes do you and I have to make as we go forward and prepare for the Lenten season, the month of March coming up? What changes do you and I need to make that truly are holding us back from success in all areas of our lives? I want you to think about that because only you and God know what that change is. But there's no time like the present to make that change, which is very critical to the success of your family, your work, your community service, your own individual growth, and long-term, future. It's very pertinent to what we're talking about here, my friends. It's connected to your long-term future. And now, as we move forward in the show, I want to introduce to you the aspect of Eucharistic miracles, which have occurred for about 1,800 years around the world. And one of the greatest miracles that have taken place was in Italy, in the Lanciano, in the 8th century. And when we talk about the Eucharistic miracle, for us in the Catholic Church, we're talking about the Eucharist, which is Holy Communion. And it's the, for us, it's the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And we believe that the Lord is truly present. Now, when we talk about this, we have no credibility unless we go to the Word of God, which is important. And in the book of John, chapter 6, here's what it says in John chapter 6, verse 52. The Jews quarreled among them, saying, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And in the Gospel of John, one of the four Gospels in the New Testament, John chapter 6, once again, verses 52 to 59, Jesus confirms us with us that this is true flesh and true blood from him. And in the conversion of water and wine into the body and blood of Christ, which we call the consecration part of the Mass, we identify the term transubstantiation, which is the change of the water and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And so many people do not believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, but yet the Word of God confirms it, and it's powerful. And so because of the unbelievers out there, Jesus gives us Eucharistic miracles where the communion is changed into true flesh or true wine into true blood. So with this change, which is transformation, right in the hands of the priest during the consecration, throughout the world, these are examples of the Lord Jesus Christ and his true presence in the Eucharist. For many of us who believe, it's in our hearts, it's in our minds. And if your love for God is there, you too will believe. And for those who lack the belief in the true presence of Christ, the Lord gives us faith increases. Hence we have the Eucharistic miracle. And the miracle that took place in the 8th century in Lanciano, during the Holy Mass after twofold consecration, the host was changed into live flesh and the wine was changed into live blood, once again, which coagulated into five parts, irregular and differing in shape and size. The host flesh, as can be very distinctly observed today, has the same dimensions as the large host used today in the Latin Church. It is light brown and appears rose-colored when lighted from the back. The blood is coagulated and has an earthy color resembling the yellow of ochre. Various ecclesiastical investigation recognitions were conducted in the year 1574 and in 1970 to 71 and taken up again partly in 1981. There took place a scientific investigation by the most illustrious scientific professor, Odorardo Linoli, eminent professor in anatomy and pathological histology, and in chemistry and clinical microscopy. He was assisted by Professor Ruggero Bartelli in the University of Siena. The analysis were conducted with absolute and unquestionable scientific precision, and they were documented with a series of microscopic photographs. These analyses sustain the following conclusions, that the flesh is real flesh, and the blood is real blood. The flesh and the blood belong to the human species. The flesh consists of the muscular tissue of the heart. In the flesh, we see present in section the myocardium and the endocardium, the vagus nerve, and also the left ventricle of the heart for the large thickness of the myocardium. Also seen is the flesh is a heart complete in its essential structure. The flesh and the blood have the same blood type, AB, blood type identical to that which Professor Bema Bologna uncovered in the Holy Shroud of Turin. In the blood, there were found proteins in the same normal proportions, percentage-wise, as are found in the seroproteic makeup of the flesh normal blood. In the blood, there were also found these minerals, chlorides, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, sodium, and calcium. The preservation of the flesh and the blood, which were left in their natural state for 12 centuries and exposed to the action of atmospheric and biological agents, remains an extraordinary phenomenon. And so, this Eucharistic miracle, my friends, I like to refer to it as a faith increaser. Something to help us to not only believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, but to draw us closer to Jesus. When so many don't go to church today, so many more don't believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Many don't want to hear the Word of God. This is a time when the Lord is giving us things that increase our faith. Miracles. In this case, we're referring to the Eucharistic miracle. In other cases, we refer to the apparition sites around the world where our Blessed Mother Mary has been seen and has been appearing for centuries in places like Mexico City, as Our Lady Guadalupe, in Lourdes, France, in Fatima, Portugal, and in many other areas. Our Lady has been truly given the responsibility by our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in Heaven to appear throughout the world to help you and I and people of all denominations to not only accept Christ, to believe in Christ, and to get closer to Him. For one reason, the Lord says time and time again, no one comes to the Father except through me. The goal for all of us throughout the world is to get home to the Father. And no one comes to the Father except through our Lord Jesus. So what the Eucharistic miracles, the apparition sites throughout the world, God has given us faith increases. Things that increase our faith that bring us closer to Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. It's a unique opportunity, my friends, that we have to spend time with God. How much time each week do you and I truly spend with God? Or are we too busy to do that? God's calling us to make some changes in how we spend our time. And it's important and it's even very critical because in today's world, we have many, many non-believers. And it's up to you and I to not only live out the faith, but to teach others to do the same. We are called, truly. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet, to speak out, to share the faith." We are called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the entire world. And the Lord says this as well. He says, "Before end times, before the world ends, every knee shall bend at the name of Jesus, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." It doesn't matter the denomination, the color. It doesn't matter where you're from, where you live. Every one of us will bend our knee at the name of Jesus. We will kneel down, which requires humility before God. And one of the challenges we have is not enough humility in the world today. God calls us to truly a more humble character, where we submit to God, allowing Him to direct our lives as He is number one as our Creator. And as we go forward, we want to keep that in mind. Now, the closer we get to God, the more we realize that there are people out there who truly are opposed to the message of the gospel, the message of family life, the message of the life of the unborn child, euthanasia, adult stem cell research versus embryonic stem cell research. There are people who are opposed to the things that are right in the eyes of God. One of the things we're going to talk about is the LGBTQ acronym. And for us here at Finding God in Prison, who are motivated, who are inspired to really deliver the message of the gospel, I want to share with you the acronym LGBTQ as we know it here on Finding God in Prison. And L for life, because God gives you one life to live. We are blessed to come into the world. This past week, my niece had a new baby boy, and he is just a blessing to our family. And we have one life to live, and we want to make the most of that life. We want to basically, you know, get to know God, to love God, to serve God with that life. And the stronger we are, the more we can do for ourselves and other people, both in our families and in the communities. So life is the L in this acronym. G for God. God is first. And we want to acknowledge God as being first in our lives, to submit, to become number two versus number one, and to move God up the list from last to first. And God is our Creator. He is the Creator of all mankind. We want to acknowledge that God the Father created the world in the beginning. He sent His only begotten Son 2,000 years ago. And the life, death, and resurrection of Christ is so powerful an event that world time is set by that event. So we acknowledge life and then God as the L and the G in LGBTQ. We look at the B for baptism because we want to be, you know, cognizant of the fact that the Lord himself was baptized. He calls us to be baptized in Christ, the first of the seven sacraments in our church. And we believe that those who are baptized are truly, you know, blessed with the Holy Spirit and are move forward in life. And this is a beautiful opportunity to really give God's blessing to a newborn baby son or daughter in this world. And so we acknowledge the LGB and LGBTQ. We look at the T for, once again, transubstantiation, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Just an amazing, you know, philosophy, a true fact supported by the Word of God in the book of John chapter 6 about the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, that his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink. Change from the water and the wine during the consecration of the Mass into the true flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And this is truly what separates the Christians from the Catholics in the world today. One of the beliefs is that we believe that Jesus is truly present. And for those who are unbelievers, once again, Jesus gives us the Eucharistic miracles around the world that have taken place right in the hands of the priest. Blood coming from the host and dropping on the corporal or showing up in the host itself. And these are powerful miracles that require true faith in God to believe. And then we go to our last letter, which is the Q in LGBTQ, which is the Queen of the Universe, the Queen of Heaven and of Earth, our Blessed Mother Mary, who gave her life to support the plan of our Heavenly Father, the eternal plan for salvation, who gave birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. And through her, the Father uses our Blessed Mother Mary as the vehicle by which Jesus Christ comes into the world. And this is an amazing thing to acknowledge. So in the LGBTQ acronym, we once again identify life, God, baptism, transubstantiation, and the Queen, which is the Queen of the Universe, our Blessed Mother Mary. My friends, that's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God lift you up this week as we prepare for Lent, and may he give you a true faith and belief in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. Have a great day. God bless, and we'll see you next time here at Finding God in Prison. God bless.